Father, thank you for this time that you give us every time that we gather, the privilege of hearing from your word. And I pray that as we have open hearts and open minds this morning, that we will understand your message to us this morning, a message that calls us to greater commitment and less complaining. And Father, I pray that we'll be encouraged, that we'll be built up, that our time together will be beneficial and useful. And above all, Father, I pray that we'll become stronger as your church in this area to carry out the ministry that you give us, the things that you've called us to do, in Jesus' name. And we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. Kind of taking a side point from this passage this morning, obviously the larger context has to do with how God is equipping the leaders in Israel to actually lead the people. There's clearly, the complaining indicates that there's clearly a lot of pastoring, a lot of shepherding that has to happen. And Moses is whining and complaining himself. And I love the part where he says, if you're not going to do this for me, go ahead and kill me. But then as an afterthought, but only if I found favor in your eyes. And then he comes back to it. But even as Moses is complaining, he's complaining because of the people's complaining. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And ultimately, the way God handles this is, as we saw in 24 through 29 of Numbers chapter 11, is that God grants the ability to 70 others plus at least two others, gives them part of his spirit, and they prophesy in this instant as a sign that God's empowered them to do this, and they will help Moses shepherd the people. But I want to pick up on the issue of complaining. Complaining is at the root of a lot of problems. I know complaining is at the root of a lot of problems in our personal lives. But I'm not addressing that today. Maybe we could address that at another time. Today, I want to talk about complaining in the church. Complaining is at the root of many problems in the church. Why? I guarantee that when you find a church that isn't going far, doesn't have much going on, is stalled out and stuck, that somewhere, and you're not going to have to look hard, but somewhere you're going to find a lot of complaining. Because complaining holds people back. Now, you know, we complain as a church. I complain. I'm not speaking to you this morning. I'm speaking to us. So please hear everything I say this morning. I've already spoken to myself, and I'm speaking to myself again. So please hear that sermon in this message this morning. But I also asked on Facebook this week some of my friends there to identify situations that they've either witnessed or heard about that involve complaining about church issues or spiritual issues. I got several. I got the usual ones about carpets, potlucks. Someone said parking spaces. To this day, I'm honored enough to have not heard complaints about parking spaces. I hope I never do. Actually, I hope I do, because you're probably going to hear that complaint when churches are outgrowing their parking lot and so on. That'd be not a good complaint, but a better complaint to have. But the things to complain about, how people dress for worship, elements of the worship service, different things like this. Most of the complaints that have to do with churches and in churches have to do with what amounts to either personal preferences or outright anger towards other people. There's a couple people battling for a prime ministry slot. There's, you know, a new committee coming on board or a new ministry, and a couple people really want to be the one to head this up. Of course, one of them gets selected. Probably, maybe there could be a team, but one person gets selected. So now the other person who loved this ministry up until the point that they weren't selected now finds a mission in life to try to undermine that ministry. If you read the book that Joey and I wrote over the summer, the This or That book, one of the scenarios in the book involved you making the choice to go out and create a ministry that served people in the neighborhood. Maybe you remember this story. But in the neighborhood, you find that there's a lot of people who don't really fit the church type, if you catch what I mean. But you've decided that your call to do ministry is more important than that, so you go out and do ministry. A lot of these people start coming into church. Suddenly, you're called into a leadership meeting where you're told that there's some complaints by anonymous members. Always love the anonymous members who are upset about things being left a mess, which is code for I don't like the people who are coming in the church building. And then you have a choice about how you're going to proceed from there. But that's another common complaint. Find ways to complain about this thing was out of place or that group left things a mess, which is always code. Always code. And let's be honest with ourselves. Or I don't like the people that were using the church building. I don't like the people that were in the church building. But we dress it up in a complaint that has some decorum, at least, that looks like, yeah, we need to have a clean building. So we complain. You know, a lot of these complaints come down to personal preferences. A lot of the complaints come down to issues with individuals. But we're not the first ones, and we're not the first church to complain. We're not the first ones to complain. Christian history, God's history, has a lot of issues with complaining. We can look in the Bible itself, for example. Look at what we've already read in Numbers chapter 11. The people, when we find the people in Numbers chapter 11, what are they doing? Complaining. What are they complaining about? We have no meat to eat. Now, they do have something to eat, don't they? They do have something to eat. And he says, but we're tired. They say, we're tired of only having this manna. And what's funny about this is he says, they say, I remember back in Egypt when we had this food, all this food and these great tables laid out before us at no cost to us. Really? Really? Does anyone remember something about that statement that would point out how ridiculous it really is? They had all this food in Egypt at no cost to them, just provided. Hello? They were slaves in Egypt. And they had rations provided for them as slaves in Egypt. So they've totally forgotten this history as they're out trying to remember what's going on about being hungry and we need meat. We had meat, we had vegetables, all we have now is manna. Guess what else they're overlooking? Where's the manna from? The manna's from God. They're complaining about food miraculously given to them by God to sustain them. They're upset because they don't have a choice in it. It's not what they would choose to feed themselves. And so, I want something better for myself. You know, they become comfortable. Now they're complaining. Moses turns around and complains. Rather than Moses reiterating what I've just pointed out, Moses finds out that God's upset, and rather than trying to speak with God about what's going on, Moses says, I can't believe you've given me these people. I didn't raise them. I didn't give birth to them. And if you're not going to do anything, that the classic line coming up, if you're not going to do anything, then kill me as long as I found favor in your eyes because I don't want to go on with this. Leaves it to God to find the solution. And then perhaps best of all, God finds a solution. He says, look, Moses, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you some people who are going to help you shepherd and pastor the people. They're going to help you with this. And God marks those people by giving them the Spirit. God asks, here's an interesting part. God asks for 70 people to come. 70 elders show up. God gives the Spirit to 70 of elders. We know this because they're prophesying a gift of the Spirit of God. And then there's two guys back in the camp who weren't part of the, they didn't just stay back. They weren't part of the 70 who were called. God puts his Spirit upon them anyway. And then this young man comes running. We all know this young man, the young man, young woman, old woman, whoever, who's always standing on the outside looking in, looking for someone doing something that they think is out of line so they can go running to the elders and report on that person about what that person's doing. This young man comes running to Moses and says, Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying. Moses is looking around like, is this really what you want to get hung up on? And then Joshua says, Joshua, the military leader, says, Moses, aren't you going to tell them to stop? He's upset. He's complaining that unauthorized people are doing things in God's name. So, you know, when we complain, about church things. I'm not writing it off or making an excuse, but we do stand in a long line of people who complain about these kinds of things. Not everyone is interested in doing God's work. Some people would rather criticize others than actually get involved to do God's work. You know, in Moses' case, we've already established this, the people weren't interested in simply following God. The people were more interested in having some kind of menu that they found more palatable than the manna that God gracefully and miraculously gave them every day to sustain them. Then Joshua was upset. He couldn't stand that some people who were outside the people that God said, come bring to me, that those people also got the gift of God because they weren't involved in it like we were. We had to do this. We were the ones called by God. We're part of the 70 that God said, bring me 70, and we're part of that 70. And then these two get it? They didn't do anything. They don't deserve it. But they've got the Spirit of God on them too. And so Joshua's complaining. Now let's flip over to Mark chapter 9. This is a great story. Because this doesn't happen only in the Old Testament. This is in the New Testament too. Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 41. Teacher. You can see John, he's speaking here. Stern, he's serious. Got a real important matter he's got to bring up before Jesus. Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name. And we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Can you see John? He's proud of himself. They're out there going about things. Who knows what they're doing? Maybe they're driving out demons too. I don't know. He doesn't say. Whatever he's doing, he's got time to observe what other people are doing and thinks he thinks they're not doing it right. Now, they're on their way back, and you can imagine which of them saying, well, who gets to tell Jesus? You know, they're arguing about who gets to be in the limelight here, to go up to Jesus and say, look what we did for you. We saw a guy, we didn't know who he was, but he was driving out demons in your name. We told him to stop. Now, notice what's implied in what he says. A man was driving out demons in your name. He doesn't say a man was attempting to drive out demons in your name. He didn't say a man claimed to be driving out demons in your name. He says a man was driving out demons in your name. This was being accomplished. This was being effected by that man. This man was effective. He was driving out demons, not by his own authority, not even under the authority of God, but in the name of Jesus. Out there doing God's work. And John can't wait to get back to Jesus and say, look, hey, we stopped this guy. Because we didn't know who he was. He probably was part of some other group we haven't met yet. He was associated with some people that we don't think they understood the Bible right, so we told him to stop. You can see these guys coming back all proud of themselves. They went out and did some good work for Jesus by interrupting a man who was doing good work for Jesus and telling him to stop. This is what they're giving back to Jesus. And so what do you expect Jesus is going to say? Righteous. These men, John, you have excelled above the rest. Thank you for bringing this report to me. I am so glad you prevented work in my name from being done because you didn't know who those people were. I'm not with you all the time. Maybe I talked to some other guys and empowered them too. But thank you for stopping him because you didn't know who he was. We might expect Jesus to say that in the Horton Road Church of Christ. But Jesus doesn't say that. This complaining from John comes to an end because Jesus lets him know how he should have proceeded. First thing, John standing there, he's proud. He can't wait to hear from Jesus. Maybe he's going to be elevated here a little bit. Don't stop him, Jesus says. You can imagine John think, uh-oh, what's coming next? What do we do? Do not stop him, Jesus says. And I imagine Jesus not being stern at this point, because just like us, the disciples were a work in progress too. They thought they were perfect at sometimes. I think I'm perfect sometimes, and then 5 minutes later realize I'm not. And that probably happens to most of us. So I don't imagine Jesus being stern here. But I do imagine Jesus seeing a teaching moment and being serious with what he's about to say. So he says, don't stop him. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. So he tells John to stop complaining about the things that other people are doing in his name, because if they're doing things in his name, then there's no way they're going to be opposed to him. You see his point there? Yeah, I don't know who he is. Maybe Jesus didn't know who he is either. I don't know. And there's a lot of people out there doing things in Jesus' name. I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. Probably collectively we know who some of them are. But they're doing things in Jesus' name. And Jesus says, if they're not against us, then they're for us. So why would we want to interrupt something positive? Because we don't know who they are, or we don't think they're authorized or sanctioned. So I think if we go back to the issue in Numbers, one of the things that we can learn today is that we simply need to quit complaining about other people. That when we look at the way that God handled things with Moses, and when we look at the way that Jesus handled things with John, and what was said, and what was emphasized, that we simply need to quit complaining. Of course, we also need to recognize we're not going to quit complaining except for God's help. Okay, we need God to help us, just like he helped people in the book of Numbers. Moses was not going to be able to overcome this problem by himself, so God stepped in with a solution. If Moses had said, no, I don't like this, that 70 more people I have to oversee and I can't be bothered, do you think Moses would have been successful? No chance. Why? Because he did not want to work with the resources God was giving him to work with. But God enabled him to overcome the complaining by giving him what he needed to overcome that obstacle. Jesus gave John what John needed to overcome his obstacle of complaining. It was a new theology, a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at people that wasn't divisive and combative and selective and superficial, but was inclusive and focused more on Jesus himself than on the ways in which I understand Jesus. See, that's what John thought. Well, I know Jesus. I've been with Jesus. I know Jesus. I don't know this guy. Yeah, I don't know where Jesus was last week when he left us in a town to do a mission, then he went on somewhere else. But I know Jesus, and I know what the Bible says, and I don't know this guy. But Jesus said, if he's not against us, he's for us. So he helped John understand some new things there. He puts the focus back on himself the same way God put the focus back on himself when he gave of his spirit the 72 men who would then initiate care, shepherding for the people. In order to quit complaining, we're going to need to focus on God. Or in some of our cases, to refocus on God. To change our way of thinking, our way of acting, our way of relating to other people, and bring that in line with godly standards. To quit looking at people as problems, and to quit looking at people as a means for me to get ahead, but to start looking at people the way that God desires us to look at people, and that is people who are in need of care. People who are in need of having to be shepherded and worked with and so on. And even I would say that's what Jesus is getting at with John. What kind of a leader goes out to someone trying to do something in Jesus' name and says, quit it because I don't know who you are? and then runs back to headquarters to report the good things that he did in the name of Jesus. No. Jesus says, work. Maybe he doesn't say work with that person, but he doesn't say prevent that person from doing the good works that bring glory to his name. And that's what he's getting at. So we need to bring the focus, our focus, individually and as a church, back to God. The first time Moses heard complaining, the complaining from verses 4 to 6, he complained too. The second time he heard complaining, the complaining from Joshua about these two weren't there, they don't have a right to prophesy, the second time was different, because this time Moses had been refocused back on God by God himself. And he combated the complaining this time by calling Joshua's attention back to the work God was doing. Did you catch that the first time around? Look at Numbers 11, verse 28. This young man comes running in. He thinks he's going to be the next hero in Israel because he's coming to report this clearly out of line behavior, this inappropriate nonsense going on by people that weren't authorized to be doing this stuff. He comes running back to report this, and Joshua says in verse 28, Moses, my Lord, stop them. Joshua can't believe this kind of garbage is going on around them. And Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Why? Because then Moses would know that all the people are focused on doing God's will. See, Joshua sees this as a problem of people who are unauthorized going out and doing things for God when they're not authorized to do this. Moses sees it as a problem of people complaining, not themselves being focused on God. Moses is right because Moses' focus has been turned back to God. Moses realized it wasn't about him, but it was about God. And then Moses realized, our last point here, that what we need to focus on is carrying out the ministry that God gives us to do. The ministry in this case was the prophesying that was happening in Numbers 11, which was then going to follow through to the shepherding that was going to happen, the leadership that was going to happen among the people because of God's intervention. This is what Moses realized. This is what Moses wanted to put the focus on. But first he's got to deal with this young running man, and then he's got to deal with his military commander coming and trying to stir up problems. He's got to deal with these two things on opposite ends, but he tries to bring them together by reminding them that what's really going on here is God is working among us to provide for his people. And he brings that focus to it. And isn't it the same for us? Doesn't God give his church the same commands today? To be focused on caring for others in his name, both inside the church and outside the church, and to be focused on teaching others about his glory, both inside the church and outside the church. If those two things are the focus that we proceed with, we will not find time to complain about others who aren't sharing the load, who aren't authorized to do this, or so on. But it's going to have to start with us getting our focus straight. Get our focus back on God. Number one thing, don't hold back God's work by complaining and by criticizing others. If we can remember that this morning, maybe this is one of the best things, best ways to apply this moving forward. Because I know it's going to be tough to try to get totally on board with some of these things. But if we can remember to not hold back God's work through complaining and criticizing, then maybe there'll be a start. Well, what do we do? If I'm so used to complaining and criticizing because I want my way and I don't like other people who are involved in God's work, how do I start? May I suggest that we can all start today by finding one way of contributing one way to participate in the work that God is doing. And God's doing a lot of work. God is working in this church. God is working in this community. Can we find one way to participate in that work, to get involved, to pitch in, so that we don't have to worry about complaining and criticizing about what other people are doing, even while we're doing nothing, but let's put our own focus back onto action in God's name for other people. Can we do that? Participate. What would be different in your life, in this church, or in this community, if we, as a church and as individuals, quit complaining about other people, put our focus back on God, and flat out did the work that God called us to? And by doing that work, I don't mean talking about that work at a men's meeting. I mean doing the work he called us to. If we put the complaints behind us, if we put a focus on God before us, and if we translate that focus to work and action in God's name, and then we say, I'm going to do that, and then go out and do it, then we're making a huge start. And then when we find someone else doing something in Jesus' name and we don't know who they are, then maybe we can say, but if he's not against us, he's for us. And then if we see someone else doing something in God's name and we think, well, they weren't part of the group that God called to us, like when he called the 70, maybe we'll remember, but even when 70 showed up, God still gave his spirit to two people who were outside of the ones that he called. And maybe we'll remember Jesus' words and say, but if he's not against us, he's for us. And if we remember those things, we'll be doing a whole lot to keep our focus on God. And if we keep our focus on God, we will not find the time or the room to complain and criticize about others. And so this morning, as we finish our time here, may we all think about the complaining that we do to resolve to stop that complaining, with another resolve to put our focus back on God, and a third and final resolve that once our focus is back on God, we commit to doing the work God has given us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will put this message deep into our hearts, that we will see that you have called us, maybe even to things that we haven't even considered yet. Father, if we are not focused on you because of complaining and criticizing, I pray that you will reveal that to us. I pray that you will show us the way forward, the way back to you, the way that is focused on you, and that you will help us to be the church that you have called us to be, who is focused on you, sold out for you, doing your work. Thank you for Jesus. We offer this prayer in his name. Amen.